You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
And this evening, it being, of course, Entrepreneurship Wednesday, we're speaking to Lonwabo Goliath, of course, who is the director of Dare Solutions and also is the business cluster director for Stasas. He will be telling us a little bit about his business and perhaps how he even got to be where he is this day. I believe he's already on the line. Hi, Goliath. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just excited that we finally meet.
Finally, albeit over the phone, right?
always has been, yeah.
Are you well, though?
Very well. Thank you, man. Looking forward for this conversation.
Fantastic. And how was the day?
How are you doing?
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a busy day. Busy. Apparently, busy is good. I'm not sure if I really believe that. I think I'm at a stage where I don't believe it. But apparently, busy is good. So today was one of those busy ones. And how was your day?
No, mine was as well. It was quite a good kind of busy.
Yeah.
Got quite a lot to do towards the last stretch of the year. There are some suppliers that are waking up to last minute requests.
Yeah.
And we have to pull out rabbits
Of different. I know.
So that's where we are.
Well, like they say, pulling out those stops right towards the end of the year is good because then you can pay bonuses, right?
No, pay school fees.
He's saying no. That was a considered no, by the way. Hey, it sounded very considered. It was not just a no.
You said it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, for people who might not know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
The name is Lonwabo Goliath.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have no... I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunately. I have no Christian names or cultural or whatever. My only name is Lonwabo. That's it.
Okay.
I share my status with a twin sister whose name is Noxolo.
Okay.
And of course, we were the last ones in our family of six children.
Yeah.
The last bones, and I'm told that we were the ones that were bringing peace and love, Lord, and I hope that we did. And I hail from a small town in the Eastern Cape next to Gqeberha called Uitenhage Kwanobuhle Edinaga.
Okay.
And the home of VW.
Ah.
So we know it as that. And we grew up, you know, attending the SDA church school in New Brighton. That was primary school. And ultimately, my father was transferred to Johannesburg through a company called Nestle.
Mm.
And that's when we relocated as a family to Gauteng.
Mm.
And the first place we landed in was basically Soweto, Pimville.
Mm.
And that's when we started our GP journey and pretty much grew up within the Gauteng area, but still, you know, well-rooted within the Eastern Cape, Edinaga side of things.
Ah, fantastic. And how was that transition for you?
Well, the transition was, you know what? It was okay because we were still young.
Yeah.
And we just finished primary school. So that's when life was starting to happen, really. You know, it was a bit uncomfortable when we getting into a different kind of environment where there's many languages that are being spoken, and the only ones we know is just Xhosa and English. I can't even count Afrikaans because I sucked at it from, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny because with the surname Goliath, people think that you're colored.
Yeah.
And they start speaking Afrikaans to you. But, which becomes a problem. So it was quite an interesting transition.
Yeah.
We were welcomed by a serious baptism of fire on the first school that we attended, only to find out that it was a fly-by-night school.
Sure.
So we wasted a full year in our first year of high school.
Sure.
And they took all our monies and ran. So that was a wake-up call. Very rude awakening for us and our parents. And we really enjoyed the relocation, basically, because we met new people. Pimville Church was our home church when we arrived. Ended up going to Guatemala Springs, which is where ultimately I met my wife. Now she's a wife of 21 years. We have two kids, a 19-year-old who's doing his first year in university, and a 17-year-old who's in grade 10. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So you prat ni Afrikaans ni?
Not at all, my brother.
Okay.
Once I try.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a comedy session. Pretty much Goliath and Goliath comedy session.
So what do you do when people speak Afrikaans? Do you go like, no, I can't hear you?
Yeah, I know. I just respond with a joke or something that make them realize that they've just tried to make my life uncomfortable. I just throw it back at them one way or the other. I'm not shy about it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to, say things incorrectly.
Yes, that's nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, is it Dare Solutions? I know people pronounce things differently. So Dare Solutions, what is the company and what do you guys do?
Dare Solutions is our family business.
Okay.
And by the name Dare, there's so many things, in that particular name.
Yeah.
First of all, it's well entrenched within the faith element. Dare you to do this, you dare us, we deliver, which is our tagline. It's basically I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me kind of a basis, because you bring it to us, we find a solution for it. As long as there's a problem, we'll find a solution to your problem. And we specialize in marketing solutions, and which is basically through the line marketing.
Okay.
And that all is empowered by our printing hub, where we're able to print anything from a business card to a billboard. And one of our leading services right now is bespoke signage that we are offering our clients, basically. So Dare Solutions gives you that end-to-end feel where we conceptualize a campaign. We also have the capability to fill all the gaps within that particular campaign with merchandise, promotional items, activation, and your advertising within one entity. And the value proposition there is that you obviously get all this at a fraction of the cost if you were to, take your services to different agencies, basically. Dare Solutions has been on and off because my career started from corporate. I've worked for almost all the banks within SA. Never ever worked as a teller or a banker in my whole entire life. I don't know how a branch like from a desk perspective, but I've worked for banks all my life, with an exception of Standard Bank. But because my wife worked for Standard Bank, I would say I worked for it in community of property. So
it's a good one.
yeah. The very first one I worked for was actually Investec as an intern. So really I've enjoyed that career, because that's where I really, you know, received my training as an entrepreneur. And then Dare was just born in between different you know, roles that I was playing within the corporate space. And the first dance was around 2010, when there was, you know, a huge issue within Barclays, and I was working for Upfront time within Barclays, and I just started with Barclays, and unfortunately were retrenched, having been headhunted from Nedbank to only be retrenched a year later because of the life of principal last in first out. And that was 2010, Soccer World Cup time, and you know, economy was booming at that particular time. We just enjoyed the successes as a business, as a very fresh young business at the time, but it was just not sustainable, because it was just a short spike, and when the tourists left the country, we were back to square one, and it felt like one had not thought properly, you know, or thought things through from a planning point of view, and found ourselves stranded. And I was ultimately called for a job, a corporate job again. I went back and had another stint at corporate. Up until I decided, no, I'm now going back. I'm ready again. But it doesn't mean when I went back, everything was going smoothly. And that's the thing with my entrepreneurship journey. I'm not shy about talking to people about the failures that, you know, have got, you know, breaks of success in them. Because that's what makes a real true entrepreneur.
I want to come back to those challenges in just a moment from now, but in short, you provide like you said, through the line, and I don't want to take for granted maybe some listeners who may need above the line. Do you have services for that as well?
Yeah, so the above the line solutions are more on outdoor advertising.
Okay.
We don't go as you know, as your prime medias can go. We start from a wall mural point of view. That's out of home. Kind of above the line. We help you with your digital billboards, but only indoor at different. Strip malls and all that, that falls under above the line. We don't do radio, we don't do TV at this stage. But because we have a below the line capability from an activation point of view, and the print media as well, you know, we look at below the line, and then from a comms perspective, where we create your corporate identity solutions as well. That becomes part of our PR. So we're able to touch all the different lines of market. Though we are growing, you know, steadily, you know, we know we are keeping into our lane based on the capacity that we have at the current moment, and enjoying that.
Okay, fantastic. I just wanted, you know, for some of maybe listeners who are looking for above the line, and like you mentioned, even below the line as well, there could be some that are looking for it. And it's great to hear that you can touch on all three in varying degrees. What makes your company then different to others who are also agencies and marketing?
Yeah, so interesting question. And we're talking value proposition now.
Yeah.
And to me, you go through Johannesburg, Pritchard Street, and you'll see so many printing companies. They have, they're running large format digital printers, mm-hmm. they're running embroidery. There's so many of them, mm-hmm. and you're spoiled for choice, mm-hmm. but you will go to the one that gives you the best quality or response mm. time. And that's what we are selling from a DARE perspective. Mm. Much as we're a printing and marketing solutions-based company, we are selling time and quality at the same time. To say to you, if you need us, we will respond to you mm. within record time and provide the solution within record time as well. Mm. But that, then it would take you step by step so that we manage your expectation accordingly. What mm. we fail to do as printing companies, we almost become a necessary evil or mm. devil because mm. people need printed items.
Yeah.
But, you know, we will make you wait because we've got so much to deal, and we fail to manage your expectation and let you down right at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I've looked into the time and quality factor,
yeah,
and that's what we're selling. And you almost make each job a VIP kind of an experience for mm. you, for your client, mm. and that's what we strive for.
Mm. Did you see a gap in the market at the time? And you spoke about going in and out of the business and all that. What drew you to specifically this type of work?
Creativity. So I'm a creative by nature. Even from a spiritual point of view, one of our talent based, I write songs.
Okay.
I sing. I like creating something from nothing.
Yeah.
And see it coming to life.
Yeah.
And that's always been my passion.
Yeah.
To look at things and say, okay, this has a potential to be this.
Mm.
And going through the process is what brings me excitement as a business mm. person.
Mm.
So that's what I wanted to fulfill. As mm. far as the gap is concerned, it was exactly that.
Yeah.
Printing companies or marketing solution-based companies, not all of them mm. pay attention to detail. So you need someone who understands how a service provider mm. needs to be treated. Now, I'm saying this with the lens of a corporate guy mm. sitting at the desk of a marketing manager
mm.
and asking for a request from a service provider.
Mm.
I've briefed in my campaign. I expect it to, you know, to show up in a particular manner. And I know what I'm expecting to see.
Mm.
All right. Now, I have crypt notes. I've got my own experience sitting behind the desk of a marketeer
mm.
that I'm now, you know, tapping onto, because I'm now the service provider
mm.
that is providing solution from an informed base. Mm. But those are all the gaps that basically I feel that is mm. their solutions. We are trying to close in the market.
Yeah. So this second stint started when? When did you come back from corporate and now said, this is it and not really going back?
2017. With Nedbank, I was involved in your Nedbank Cup, campaigns.
Yeah.
Your Nedbank Golf.
Mm.
So if you knew me then, you would come to my office to get VIP tickets and all. So
mm.
I left that cushy job.
Yeah.
for this hustling environment that we're
yeah.
in. And that was 2017. And of course, some of the reasons I decided to leave corporate was the dissatisfactions I had mm. around transformation. And it's stuff that I became very much vocal about within the corporate sector, within my actual company. Ultimately, I made a decision that, okay, let's focus on something that you can control and, you know, add value to the people that you're working with.
Yeah. And how did you deal with the issue of COVID? And I can imagine during that time there was no printing, there was no, I suppose, through the line type of things. Did you have to now play at a different level?
We had to. We had to reinvent ourselves and see what can we do. How do we make ourselves essential services? You remember at the time, there was a joke going around, if your boyfriend or your husband is not essential services, red flag.
Yeah, definitely.
start worrying.
Yeah.
So we were one of those husbands that were essential services. We had our permits.
Thank God.
And we could... Yeah, we could travel throughout the country.
Yes.
And it was a very, very interesting period. I think the first 3 weeks were quite scary based on what we were experiencing. But it gave us time to reflect as a family, you know, and find ourselves. But immediately after that, we started thinking out of the box and we went around different hospitals. The first hospital that we ever went to was Dundee Hospital. We drove there, you know, having it found out that there's going to be a delegation that's looking at the COVID, you know, care stations there. And we knew that they were having issues with their signage. And we went back to the factory, to the workshop, and we designed some solutions for them as, you know, your samples, and went there to just pitch an idea, which was ultimately taken to tender. And we were able to be awarded for that job. No one was doing anything at that particular time. So that literally became the template for the Department of Health, that this is the kind of signage that we're looking for, directional signage that's pointing people to COVID stations. And one thing led to another. They wanted to now revamp their light boxes outside and the pylons. We were there to, you know, to take advantage of the opportunity. And the word went around quickly that there is this company that does these things. I was at the time working with another company called Frame Fun. We're doing this together. And we ultimately did a good number of hospital within the KZN area, and ultimately that then attracted the Haudengers as well, and we did a few clinics and hospitals that side as well. So printing was going on for us. It was a non-stop kind of a situation. We went on to to print and stitch masks like everybody else. And unfortunately weren't part of that huge saga, you know, that was happening within the Department of Health, thank God. But yeah, it was a interestingly a good time for ourselves.
Ah, fantastic. Let's talk about you then. Like you said, the journey has been, you know, had its own ups and downs and all that. What drives you?
Sure. What drives me? I think what drives me is seeing people happy. From a people centricity point of view, I believe that I'm here to serve, and that emanates from the relationship I have with my wife, with my kids, the employees or service providers. I want you to be happy. That ultimately gives me a smile, because I've delivered beyond your expectation. I've protected you. I've done everything that I needed to do to come through for you. And for me, service is is very much important. And I find myself, serving in different areas because I ultimately want people to, have the insights they need to have the comfort levels they need to have from whatever requirements they need, protection, every single thing. I'm serving in a broad where I'm staying in our little village here. That's how I got into STASA as well, because of wanting to ensure that I impart my experience and skills to a cause that makes sense. So service is what drives me.
Yeah, fantastic. And how did you raise funding? Or did you ever have to? With that first award or big contract, that there might be an element of funding that's needed. And with funding being a very scarce thing across the African continent, how did you deal with it?
So in that particular instant, I mean, I was I'd partnered with a gentleman, a giant with so much capacity, from buildings to, you know, deep pockets. It was, a partnership that worked, where he could be able to foot the bill for most of the work that we needed. So that was not such a bad experience, because we had partnered together. Where I had struggled in terms of funding was when I was going solo. When I was going solo, I went down. It was tough because you were learning this business thing, and people were out to knock you in so many ways. They were gunning for you. At that particular time, I was using my own savings from my corporate journey, and that's how I managed to get by. But things did get a bit tough, and hence I landed in a partnership where there was a bit of a cushion. Which I ultimately decided I'm going back on my own now since 2022. I've been going solo, and decided, you know what? What's important for me is to now seek advice, seek knowledge and insights. And I was able to be accepted by, I don't know if you know of RaiseCorp.
Yes, I do.
So I'm part of an IMA program currently that really helps us as entrepreneurs to make sure that we do things the right way. And we move from being, business, self-employed to run proper businesses, which has its own distinction that is quite important for people to understand, and that being self-employed is not being able to run a business. It's two different things.
True.
through the insights, I mean, we've become aware of the CIFAs, the CEDAs, IPC. And we actually are advocates of what they can provide for the Black entrepreneur out there, especially those that are running businesses in the township areas.
I've quite, I know RaiseCorp quite. I've been fortunate enough that over the last years, you know, as someone who's worked in ESD and transformation. So I know them very well. Now, in terms of customer base, then I just want to focus now on your first customer. How was that experience? I'm sure it changed how you looked at this entrepreneurship journey that you're about to start, beyond spreadsheets and projections and potential, income statements and balance sheet that might not necessarily always balance in reality.
Yeah. Amazing experience. I mean, to have your first major order through one of the biggest companies, Tiger Brands, doing every single kind of merchandise you can think of. It was a pretty good order. And it was quite enjoyable. I mean, it was the time that you're putting to it with a smile.
Because
you're doing something that will benefit you and your family, and finally it's for yourself. I've always been taking offense through my career journey of my superiors that would remove my signature when I've worked so hard, and they submit it to their superiors as if it's their own work. And when I got the opportunity to do it for myself and our own brand as a family, it was, you know, the most special experience one can imagine.
Talking about family then, how has this, and I'm asking this question because I think it's very interesting, specifically for you, because it's a family business, right? How does this business, or how has this business affected your family? But also, what does your typical day look like? At what stage do you say, Nkosika is hlala phansi ke ngoku andisafuna ukubona? So that was a trick question.
No, it's okay. Business is very lonely, regardless of the fact that it's a family business. One of the things I did not mention is that after I went back to corporate, we had our own executive meeting, myself and my wife. Maybe it's now you that needs to run the solutions.
Yes.
She went to it and had a good stint. She was trying. And then she ultimately comes back and says, this is not my thing. Your marketing head is your marketing head. Yes. Your own passion is your own passion.
Yeah.
I can't deal with your people. They've got unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
I know where I belong. I just like an office somewhere and do what I'm supposed to do and do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And that period didn't work well for us. And it was a peaceful decision that we took to say, okay, fine. You'll go back. And I was still trying to push so that I can then ultimately go back and run their solutions with the passion and the foresight strategy that I have in my head. It was a combination of a bit of a strain at times because it challenges your core and your relationship as a wife who is your business partner. We see eye to eye today, we don't see eye to eye tomorrow, and that's a natural progression because it's real things that we're experiencing. And from a time element, there's a lot of time that you spend away from home with the hope that you'll bring something to the table. And sometimes that something is delayed because your dependency in terms of payments and all those things, you know how our situation is within the SME space in South Africa. It has brought in some strains, but it also brings in some beautiful moments when you're celebrating your successes because, again, the success is yours. And the fact that you know that this is a legacy that I'm creating for my children, not only my children, their children's children as well. It's got a different excitement to it from a legacy perspective.
Yeah, that's really amazing. As a creative person, you know, they always say that creative people have got their own cocoon, or a little bit of, you know, when they're in their creative space, they want their own, you know, time away. How do you generate, come up with new ideas? Here's a brief, I suppose, from a potential client. Do you go into a little bit of a room and sit there and pray, look at the sky, and then ideas start coming in?
My days pretty much start 4 a.m., right?
Sure.
And that's actually better because I used to do 3:30 before that. It's a bit crazy. It's not as if I also sleep at 8:30. No.
Yes.
I would push till 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So. So one was against Sister White's, health message.
Yeah.
But surprisingly enough, that's the quietest time and where you can find that creative moment. You have conversations with yourself and God, and it's easy for ideas to flow at that particular time. Because during the course of the day, my day gets extremely busy, and there's no time, to find peace and think creative things. You become, tactical and dealing with logistics and all.
Mm.
So first thing in the morning is the best time where you'll find me at my creative element.
I should try that one, but not 3:30. It's definitely too early. That's definitely too early. One challenge, you spoke about challenges earlier on, but what is the one that you think is at the top of the challenges you've faced so far in running the business?
Sure. One of the greatest challenges within the business is that I always make a comparison between corporate and running a business because that's my only reference.
Mm.
I'm employed at my previous company as a senior marketing manager, and I don't have to worry much about finance issues, though I am rated and measured on those different quadrants. I don't have to worry too much about legal and operational issues. I just need to deliver on my KPIs without necessarily worrying about governance issue from a deep HR point of view. Because I've got an HR manager, I've got a finance manager who are my support base. Now, running a business, you have to be all those different individuals and wear those caps. And again, that's if you want to run this business, not only to be a tenderpreneur, as a self-employed and hand-to-mouth kind of a situation. So for me, it's being able to create this entity and as you start, build that brain for an HR, build the brain and the capacity for a finance director, because you're going to need to understand how you deal with your management accounts. You're going to need to know how to post different transactions on Sage so that your business is seen by anyone else that you are in control of your space. So bringing that matrix of bringing everything together, for me, that's the greatest challenge that we face in our business spaces. And these are the things that we are trying to impart within the Stasa space as well. Especially in my cluster, and the upcoming conference that we're going to have is going to also focus on some of these challenges. How do we get over these different challenges that you go through as a young entrepreneur or an experienced entrepreneur? Because we forget that the doctor, medical doctor, also has to have a business brain when they're running a surgery, and someone needs to educate them or upskill them on that particular, much as they are professionals in their own right. So it's a dynamic space that needs people to evolve at all times.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, as a draw to an end, because I also want to touch on the Stasa part, where is their solutions in the next 3 to 5 years?
Sure. Their solutions in the next 3 to 5 years is growing from employees of six to employ at least a good number of permanent 30 people within our space. And when we say 30 people, we're talking about people that are feeding their families. And as I say, people centricity is next to my heart. That's how I I present success, how I see success. It's when you're able to enable other families, and also grow into providing services to all SADC countries, and ensure that we grow accordingly.
Ah, fantastic. And let's talk about then your most satisfying moment. We don't want to just dwell on challenges, but I'm sure there's a satisfying moment where you, I suppose, come back with the wife and say, we did it.
No. The most satisfying moment actually is when we take law into our own hands, lack of a better expression. You know, this value proposition of delivering quality record time sometimes requires us to bring work, me to bring work home. And I'll have my wife taking a section in completing some tent cars, and my son and my daughter, everybody hold their corner while we're trying to make something happen for a request that has come in a few hours before I went home. And first thing in the morning, I do the delivery myself at times, because that's how personal we become with some of the products that we deliver. And then receiving an email that is filled with gratitude is enough for us even before we get paid. But hey, we've done something wonderful, and that teamwork as a family for me, that becomes the highlight of a very special moment.
Fantastic. Stasa, as the business cluster director, what is that looking like currently, and where are we taking it?
Sure, Stasa comes from a different era, very fun era, I must say, as well, where Stasa has always been in coastal areas, because people want a combination of relaxation and worship, spiritual achievement, and just physical enjoyment from an outdoor activity-based point of view. But we've asked some questions around Stasa. As an entity that has been around since 1967, what do we have to prove from a building point of view, and numbers as to how many people were empowered? Just the tangibles around the entity. The cause is great. But is it only, based on that one conference that we have at the end of the year, or the food parcels that we give out at different times? So we had to, respond to those questions, because we were asked to get on board. And I remember Bolani and I met up, and he was asked us to run with professionals, and he then called me and say, can you assist me with the marketing space? And we started running like crazy, and realized that we were not complying with the powers that be. And so that got us to a point where we had to re-engineer and craft a clear value proposition that says, Stasa, this is what we are about. And from that moment, we then decided to refine the focus areas to four pillars, which, of course, on the main was the student cluster. And we introduced the professional cluster. Then the business cluster was introduced. And then we have the think tank cluster. And, you know, all those clusters are led by, you know, people you know. Jabulile, Butelezi Galonji leads the student cluster. Bolani, Stole was on your show. Amtambek leads the professional cluster. And I'm looking at the business cluster. And Dr. Samgelo Malchas focuses on the think tank, where research happens, and and all thought leadership conversations are driven, you know. So with these heads and led by a very strong IEC team that has got the experience of what DASA have been, the combination helps us to then ensure that the members take something home whenever they engage from a DASA perspective. So it's taken a different shape altogether, and we are so excited to share that change at our conference that is going to take place on the 26th of December to the 30th at Birchwood. You know, it's such a difficult but exciting time, because it's change, and people are still looking for that venue by the beach where we'll have fun. But we bring DASA to Joburg for the very, very first time, because people are always running away from Joburg and going for more of a relaxation time. So we're definitely bringing the change on.
Fantastic. I think as Business Sense, we already have a ticket there. So that's the
wonderful
assumption that we are making. In 30 seconds, because we've literally got a minute before the top of this hour, where can people find you on Dare Solutions? Is there a website, social media that they can follow?
First of all, Dare Solutions is www.daresolutions.co.za. And we are busy with our social handles. Firstly, Facebook, also Dare Solutions. That's Facebook. And LinkedIn, Dare Solutions as well. And you can contact us at info@daresolutions.co.za.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir, for taking the time to talk to us this evening. And really appreciate your time, and wish God to continually bless your business as you grow it.
No doubt. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I look forward to feeding Business Sense with more leads there.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's one side job I've been doing these days. Gotta talk about this.
That's what I'm saying. I love the fact that I've got a ticket to DASA, so that makes a whole lot of sense. We can even broadcast from there. So there you go.
Done deal.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. That was, of course, our leader there, Ulord Nwabo, talking to us this evening about his own business. And, of course, at Dare Solutions, that's the business that you can follow as well. Really appreciate his time.